Well, here we go again. It's the news, according to me. Good morning. It is a Thursday morning, in case you didn't know. It's Thursday morning, October, what is this, the 6th already? October 6th, 2022. And we're rapidly moving through the month here already. It's just the first week of the month, but we're rapidly moving through it. We have a lot of things to talk about this morning. Mostly, the most interesting thing, of course, is always what's in my cup. We're going to get that out of the way right away. I've got some sweet tea from my dining experience last night. It was pretty good. It was, as it should be for what I paid for it. A place here called Spondivitz. I usually eat there like once every time I'm down here in Atlanta. And it's good. Good food. I had the grilled chicken salad, and it's the cheapest thing on the menu. That's decent anyway. It's not fried, it's grilled, and it's a salad, so I figure it's probably at least sort of good for me. So I wash it down with a lot of sugar laced beverage, just my sweet tea, just to, you know, so there's a balance. There's balance there. It's got good food and something that's bad for me. That's keeps me in the center there. It's good. It's good balance. I have lots of things going on in the news to talk about. A lot of different, very variety of topics that are very unrelated to each other, and to some degree. I think the big news is what's going on with OPEC. I don't know if anybody's been paying attention. Gas prices have already been ticking up in the last week and a half, and quite substantially all over the country. It's not just a fluke thing. As this, like I said, this stuff comes in waves, and you'll have prices will spike, and then the demand will go down, and then of course it's like a caboose effect thing with supply and demand, and so much of the price is based on speculation now. So the price per barrel goes up or down, whatever it is, it gets over $100 a gallon, and or $100 a barrel, and then it's, you know, the prices start to spike, and then the price, it reached a low of, I think, $70 a barrel again, and now it's going back up again. The problem with all this is, the Biden administration went to Saudi Arabia. Biden went to Saudi Arabia. They were trying to talk. They basically begged the heads of the OPEC. There's different OPEC organizations. There's OPEC, OPEC Plus, and OPEC One, or whatever it is. There's like an expanded OPEC, and then there's the OPEC Plus thing. OPEC Plus, by the way, is a lot more than just Russia. It's a lot of other Eastern Bloc countries. But the OPEC, by the way, I'm not a geopolitical expert. I'm not a doctor or a lawyer or a I'm an oily guy, but I'm not an expert on oil. I'm more greasy than oily, probably. Depends on, what time of day it is. I have a lot of interest in all these things. I just don't have any expertise in any of them at all. So I'm not a financial counselor, not a retirement expert, and I'm not a zoologist. So all those things piling up on the what I'm not list. I have, it's been interesting to listen to some of the pundits and stuff talk about this stuff. They're all rattling around. What ended up happening here was there was an estimate before their initial announcement came out. There was an estimate that they would be announced because they were having this big meeting, that they would probably cut production by 300,000 barrels a day. As it turns out, that was a very low estimate. They are lowering production by, my understanding, that the initial report was 1.2 million barrels a day, but now it's actually almost 2 million barrels per day that they're going to reduce to shore up the price. You see, they've been given control of this again because America has decided not to be energy independent. All of a sudden, the administration is groveling and whining and crying because they realize this is bad news if if gas prices go back up again, they know that people are going to show up at the polls. And they're whining and crying about this. Now, I think there's a ripcord. I believe that the left has some kind of something in mind. We'll see what happens with the election. But you don't have people like Nancy Pelosi out there declaring victory in the House, that they're going to gain seats somehow. And that the Senate, of course, isn't going to be lost, of course. But the House is, Nancy has no intention to lose the speakership. What is she, 112 years old now? Okay. Or no, 12 years old. I was off by 100. Give or take 100. She's 112 years old and acts like a 12-year-old. She's out there, you know, promoting this idea that they're not going to give up, they're not going to lose the House, they're going to gain seats. She's actually out there saying this stuff. Now, it has to make you wonder, you know, what the plan is for all this stuff. And now we have gas prices ticking up, and of course the administration is all upset about that. So now they're going to talk to Venezuela about easing sanctions on Venezuela so we can get oil from them. So now we're going to these dictators, we're subservient now again, once again. That's where they like for us to be. The only reason they don't want us there is because it's the month of October and the election is a month away, just a few weeks away. That's the only reason they don't like us in this position. If this was right after the election, they wouldn't care at all. Well, look, gas prices are going to go back up $10 a gallon. There's someone who actually said we will see gas prices in this country potentially, but before the end of the year. Probably in California, where gas prices are already well over $5 a gallon, gas prices could potentially reach $12 per gallon in California. And you know what? The leaders there don't care. They want to force people into buying electric cars, which, again, all sounds virtuous and all, but it's not. If you start looking into this more, excuse me, I need more tea here. In terms of lithium ion batteries and the resources that are available to make all this happen, it's impossible right now. We are not going to be a nation that has no gas-powered cars. Fire trucks are not going to be electric-powered. You know, you need the power of fuel. Gasoline contains so much more potential energy than what you can put in a battery right now. Now, unless they come up with some kind of battery system or they make some kind of small nuclear device, that's the only way that's going to happen. You know, you need a truck that can pump for long periods of time. It's just the ridiculousness of this whole thing to accomplish the work and get us through, get the economy to remain solid enough to make technology happen. People aren't going to invest more in technology when they can't, this utopian idea that the left has of what can possibly be in a world where no one is marginalized. Well, I got news for you. It's the world. Man has marginalized other people, each other, since the beginning of man, and it's just going to keep happening. Of course, now in the process, of course, the hypocrisy of that is that in the process of creating a world where no one is marginalized, they only marginalize people who don't want to live in a world nobody's marginalized. They don't understand the hypocrisy of their own. Just, you know, get on with your life. Do the best you can to live, you know, without bigotry, live in forgiveness, live, you know, love mercy, and walk humbly before your God. That's really what we can do here. I've got some opinions about this, all this. Well, this whole FBI investigation thing, the FBI and the DOJ have really started to show their cards with regard to how corrupt they are. And of course, they're getting away with it because the media is going along with it, because the media plays into what they're doing. It's just that they're kind of a, it's like almost like there's a three other branches of government almost in some ways. Now, so you have the FBI, the DOJ, the whole alphabet soup organization thing there that's got a grip on those in power because they like people in power who have a lot of dirt on them. This Hunter Biden thing is really ridiculous. And John Durham is also in the news. And you've got the Trump case that's going on. And you've got a variety of other lawsuits and things that are flying around the country right now. The interesting thing about the John Durham case, he's going after this guy, Dushenko, I believe it is. He's going after him. And here's what's happened with this case. It's an interesting thing. Dushenko is being investigated. I think it's actually, he's under prosecution from the Durham Independent Counsel. And what is happening is that the FBI has stepped in and actually, now, and here again, this is where if they have a judge who they've got dirt on, they can get these kinds of rulings in their favor all the time because, well, you know, judge, you could give us our ruling here. We won't expose you. These guys, it's like a mafiosco kind of thing going on. Anyway, so what's happened here is Dushenko was on the payroll as an informant to the FBI for like 3 years. Now, what that does is it protects them from answering any questions. The FBI they are masters of this. When they get called before Congress, well, we can't comment on any ongoing investigations. We can't comment on any personnel issues. We can't comment on anything that's, you know, a potential investigation or an investigation that's going on. We can't say any more about it. So they call these people before Congress. They subpoena these people, and they can't answer any questions because it's, you know, we can't answer those questions. We're bound by these rules, and we can't, you know, can't discuss this. Well, who can? There needs to be an oversight committee that can have these questions answered, that you can talk to about these investigations. There needs to be some kind of accountability, because what we have now is an organization basically that has ultimate power. And that's that you, with regard to the law. And you can just see, we can't have that. This is immoral. There's nothing wrong with accountability. Hiding under the cloak of this moral uprightness of we can't answer that question because we want to jeopardize an investigation. Or internal personnel matters. When has that ever happened in any government organization? Well, we can't talk about any internal personnel matters. Okay, you work for the people, and you can't answer to the people. That's great. That's like me, if I own a business and I have employees and I ask them, hey, what did you do here with this client? Well, I can't tell you what I did with that client. That's an internal client thing. No, you work for me. You're my salesperson. And what kind of a deal did you make them? Well, I can't disclose what kind of deal I made them. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that makes sense. I guess I'll have to fire you now. That's the ridiculousness of this whole thing. So now what happened was the jury that's listening to this trial, what they're not allowed to talk about is that Dushenko was actually a paid informant, and the information that they used was all about the Steele dossier, is all wrapped up in this thing as well. But guess what? The jury can't find out that the actual investigation was revolving around a Steele dossier and that Dyschenko was actually on the FBI's payroll. In some ways, some people are calling this a checkmate moment. In other words, the FBI has checkmated Durham on this. He doesn't have any recourse, doesn't have any way around this. Now, my guess is that Durham is taking very careful note of all of this. I don't know if Durham is, if this is all a play-acting thing that's just going to go on forever in perpetuity to placate and to hope that, you know, give us hope that there's going to be some kind of justice here. That this idea that there's no one above the law will actually be implemented at some point. Or, you know, so that he's just going to somehow smooth over those of us. He has really no intent. He's just going to make it look like something's happening. Maybe he's just a lackey. I don't know. I have no idea. Or maybe he's actually going to get frustrated to the point where he actually starts taking some serious action. And ends up playing, maybe at some point learns how to play 4D chess and make this work. You know, get some justice done here, get some things accomplished. Otherwise, he's going to go down as the biggest failure and joke, and that's going to be his legacy. We're going to have 5 years of investigations and nothing to show for it. That's what it's going to amount to. The other side of this is the Trump case. Of course, now we talked about this a little bit yesterday. I have to apologize for yesterday's show. Did yesterday's show in the morning and was unable to get it uploaded, and then ended up having to get some work done. I actually had to go in a little earlier than normal, and then of course that locked up about 6 hours of my day, and then I ended up not being able to post the thing until later in the evening. So you might be listening to the show, last night's show, this morning, possibly, or, you know, now it's 8 o'clock already here in Atlanta again, still. So a little bit later than I wake up about 5:30 every morning, but I wake up and I usually don't have anything in my head to talk about. Maybe if I just started talking, it'd be kind of interesting. I'm going to try that tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning, I will be waking up at about 5:30 and I'll be recording the show. Let's just see what happens. It'll be a little experiment. You can join me within this experiment into Kevin's brain. And we'll see what happens at 5:30 in the morning in Kevin's brain. That's what's going to be, the Kevin brain experience. I'll try to keep the show short here this morning as well, but tomorrow morning's probably going to be a very short show. I'm just going to go on because this is the news according to me, and then you're going to hear my bumper music, and that's going to be it. The show will be over. I'll be back asleep again, probably. So there's this Trump trial thing going on. Now, in the meantime, all this other stuff is happening. The things that are happening around the world, of course, there was the immigrants that were on a boat, I guess, over in Greece, near Lesbos. There's over 31 people have perished, as far as I know, from what last I heard. There was a bunch of people still missing. And it sounds like it's just horrific type thing. Of course, we have that kind of thing happening at our border as well. There are people dying and bad stuff happening. Of course, you still have the ongoing issue of the Ian hurricane. And as I had spoken, there was, as I had said before, there's going to be a lot of money flowing there that is obviously not going to go to anybody's aid. They're just going to throw in all kinds of things into this bill because it's, you know, oh, we got to send aid to Florida. So now they're going to do that, and they're going to include all this. It's going to be a corrupt thing as well. Now, the one interesting thing about aid, speaking of aid, aid going to Ukraine, of course, I think they just sent another. I think last I heard we had sent a total of $65 billion. Total now, if you add it all up, but I think that's well over that now. I think we're getting closer to $100 billion now that it's gone to Ukraine. Glenn Beck, apparently, I used to listen to Glenn Beck all the time. Don't listen to him too much anymore. He lost a lot of credibility with me, even before the election. of 2016. A lot of places kind of knocked him down, locked him off. That there, he lost a lot of radio air, time. Of course, now he has his own network and that kind of thing. He's trying to rebuild from. Might be doing better now than he was in terms of his financial status, but I think that his empire of owning the airways has kind of gone. Now he seems to have redeemed himself with reports lately. I don't dislike the guy. I don't care for him as much anymore as I used to appreciate him a lot more than I do. Anyway, see the so here, what we have here is he did this interview with a guy that's on the ground in Ukraine. And he was asking him what things looked like and all this with all this aid and everything that's going over there. Basically, the guy said he doesn't see any indication that there's any money flowing or any aid to anybody over there at all. Think about that. Take a look at the population of Ukraine. How much money we're sending there. Now, there's going to be a lot of rebuilding of infrastructure. There's been bridges and buildings and infrastructure that's just been bombed out and torn down over there. It's going to require a lot of funding. However, you can't just throw cash at the Russians and expect them to run out of the country. We're sending cash over there with no accountability, no auditing of anything. And what this guy is saying is that the money is going into a black hole. And the money is just going away. We don't know who's getting the money, where it's going. There's no accountability at all whatsoever. Ukraine was one of the top three most corrupt nations on the planet prior to the war. There's a lot of money laundering that happens. And here's what happens with this. This is why people on both sides of the aisle, look at the people who are really pushing for Ukrainian aid. McConnell is one of them. McConnell. The Senate minority leader. He was big on pushing this $40 billion initially to Ukraine. Oh, we gotta get this $40 billion right over to Ukraine. That's got to be a standalone bill. I gotta do this right away. I called the president. The president, we're going to get this $40 billion. Okay, McConnell. We got this $40 billion going over there. And who's it going to and what's it going to pay for? What's the plan here? Well, we're just going to write out a check to Zelensky. And then he's going to distribute the money. Oh, that's a great idea. How does one country pay another country? Where does that money go? Is it going to some kind of general fund? We're just sending all this money over there. Taxpayers' money. Taxpayers decided we're gonna spend this money on another country. We have to do this. So the way this works, there's a banker I was listening to this morning that was talking about how they get training. VPs on banks, different kinds of banks, big banks, if it's an FDIC bank, typically they're trained on how to identify fraud. One of the things that they do for money laundering is they will send money out overseas. The money comes from this country or wherever it's coming from. The money gets sent out of the country. Those funds are then, and they do this with artwork and under the table market in this, it's kind of this black market money exchange system that happens in the world where funds are then transferred to different, it gets divided up into different little buckets. And one of those buckets is an offshore account somewhere that a politician has access to or has influence over, be it through a family member or however that is. Those funds then can be transferred then from there. They can make investments. They can do all kinds of things. And that money, of course, then can be funneled back into cash and be brought into the country various ways through various investments. They'll buy artwork over in another country. That's like crap artwork. Like a Hunter Biden painting. They'll make a painting and sell it someplace overseas to somebody for $100,000 or whatever it is, and then that artwork is then brought into the country, and and someone here buys it. How convenient. They'll buy it for $200,000 or even just $100,000, but they'll use it as cash. They'll use it as currency. It's not just artwork. There's all kinds of other things that they'll do as well. There's any kind of assets, anything that's kind of worthless art or worthless, you know, that doesn't cost anything to actually produce. It's just, but they can use it as currency. And it's under the, and there's all kinds of rules involving, you know, tax shelters type stuff with artwork, that kind of thing. So they can hide this stuff. And of course, they're the ones making these rules. So they know their way around them. Yeah. We're onto them. Speaking of Hunter Biden, that whole thing is ridiculous as well. Why does the FBI continue to incompetently lose things, lose evidence, resist the idea of any kind of... Of course, now what they did is they did put Hunter Biden under investigation. But that simply protects Hunter Biden from and protects them from answering any questions about Hunter Biden. Well, we can't comment on any ongoing investigations. What more do you need to investigate? Okay, there's enough evidence right now to press charges against this guy for some kind of crime. Now, the problem with this is it completely implicates Joe Biden. It doesn't just stop with Hunter. It's not just that Hunter did some bad things. And this is where it gets ridiculous, in my opinion. Just gets almost, it's criminal what the FBI is doing, and it's, of course, me coming out and speaking against it. I'm just a little guy. They probably don't care, but we'll see what happens with all this stuff. Justice needs to be served. Now, I'm going to get back to this whole thing, getting back to the more spiritual side of this whole thing. This is just an opinion of mine, and I think it's based somewhat on, I hope I kind of have an understanding of Scripture and the way I understand it. I could be very wrong, but here's how I see this all shaking out in light of eternity. There's this interesting scripture about about righteousness and how our sin is going to be imputed to us as righteousness. That's what's spoken of by Paul, Rabbi Shaul. The interesting thing about this is I believe that in eternity, when our soul is there before God and we're in heaven, everything about our lives will be transparent. You'll be able to see everything about our life. When you look at someone, you will see their entire story from conception to the end. You'll see every moment of their life revealed. Every thought, everything is exposed. Now, well, so you say, well, but the sin, you won't see the sin because the sin's covered up. That's the beauty of this. What is it that gives glory to Jesus? It's what he did for us. The glory of this whole thing is that you will look at someone and see everything that Jesus redeemed them and saved them from. Because that brings glory to him. And I think it's kind of complex and it's kind of complicated. I don't know any easy way to say that. But if you look at someone and see how depraved they were and how God reached down into that depravity and saved them and washed them clean and made them whole again, you won't know that unless you can see the whole story. Because it's not about you. There will be no shame in that. You will not be in shame because of your past. That's the other interesting... we can't wrap our mind around this. But you will be able to see all of that. The whole person. Because the glory comes from what God did to redeem you. Well, you don't know what what the redemption was unless you can see what the how bad it was. Because it's not about us. It's about him and his and giving glory to him and what he did. And that makes us his children. So that's kind of the way I see it happening. Now I know that there's more, it's multifaceted. There's a lot more to it than that. Our identity will not be found in what we did. It will be found in what he did for us. Hope that makes sense. I don't know. I could be very wrong about that. But it's just kind of one of those things where, you know, it says, scripture says, no idle word. You know, you'll be judged by every idle word. You'll be, everything is spoken in the closet will be shouted from the rooftops. There's a couple different meanings of that particular scripture. Things that Messiah said. So the, interesting stuff. I must bid you adieu because I must go, I must work out and then I must go eat some food because I have another big day ahead of me. Not as big as yesterday. Actually, I don't have as much time. I don't have to work as long today. I do have to go in a little bit later, but I don't have to work as long. So that'll be good. So I'll have a normal evening time with supper and all that stuff. We'll see how that goes. I believe that I will have time in the morning. Like I said, I'm going to try to make the show 5:30 in the morning. We'll go from there. We'll see how that works. Now, it's not going to be live, so it's going to be posted probably around 7 o'clock or so. 6:30, 7 o'clock, something like that. We'll see what happens. I don't know. We'll see if it's work. I'll do the show, and I'll decide whether I want to post it or not. I probably will. I'll probably just post it. No matter how bad it is, I'll probably just post it. Because, you know, that's just the way I roll. I want to thank you all, basically, for a lot of gratitude in my heart for those of you who listen to the show. And for those of you who follow me, subscribe, and all that stuff. I'll be praying for the nation, praying for those of you in Florida throughout the day. And you know that there's a lot of challenges ahead for those of you down there. And hearts and prayers go out to the family of those who've lost loved ones down there and who've lost their livelihood. And it's going to be a tough time for some people down there, as well as other people all around the country. I mean, it's just wherever you are, if life has made a tough turn on you, it's just know that people care. That there are people out there who care about you, and Speaking of that, before I close here, real quick, I had another last night. I was just really blessed by somebody. I was in a chair. I was in this one chair that there was a couple that came in, and they were kind of looking for a place to sit. And where I was sitting was kind of taking up space. And so they were looking for a place. I kind of noticed they were looking for a place to sit. And so I moved over to another place where I could. I already had my food and stuff, so I just guys grabbed my stuff and moved over to a little spot where I could sit, and they could sit someplace that they were comfortable. And they were extremely appreciative. The guy was like offering to buy my meal and everything else for moving for him. And I was like, no, that's fine. But I said, you know, I do really appreciate you the offer, though. That's very nice of you to offer that. But it's fine. And then I sat there and ate my food, and I was really blessed by that. What you can do. Just never know what kind of little act of kindness you can do that can kind of bring people together and get some goodness in the world. Be kind to your brother. We need each other. So, once again, folks, God bless. Have a great day. Pray for our nation. Pray for our leaders. And take care.